I'm here because there's been 437 deaths in custody since 1991, and I don't care that the government has said this is illegal.
It's Monday, June 15th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Amy Pulpy Boone in Washington, D.C. Also ahead, was the U.S. military too aggressive during Black Lives Matter protests? Growing bipartisan support to removing Confederate leaders' names from military bases. Unemployment caused by coronavirus helped bring communities closer together. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Black Lives Matter marches have been inspired from all over the world. But in Australia, large crowds have gathered Saturday in defiance of government warnings about COVID-19. In Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The ancient Juukan Gorge caves in Western Australia's Pilbara region were destroyed by Rio Tinto as it expanded a multi-billion dollar iron ore mine. There were protests outside its offices in Perth. The company has apologised for the distress it caused, but Indigenous leader Robert Eggington says it was vandalism on a massive scale.
Something you could equate to as if they blew up the pyramids in Egypt because they might have had uranium or found gold under the pyramids. And it's about time that the politicians and the social structures of this country start to put some proper laws in place to stop this on lands that once destroyed can never come back.
Several prehistoric artefacts have been found at the remote site, about 1,000 kilometres north of Perth. The mining giant did have government approval to destroy the ancient rock shelters, but officials now concede the destruction of the caves was a genuine mistake. Campaigners want the right to appeal against ministerial decisions, and Aboriginal heritage laws in Western Australia that date back to the 1970s are being reviewed. Indigenous elder Dolores Corbett says sacred sites must be protected.
I just hope that this never ever happens again in Australia in regards to Rio's mining companies, anyone blowing up without fully understanding the hurt the Aboriginal people go through.
The backlash has prompted another resources giant, BHP, to halt plans to destroy up to 40 cultural sites to expand a mine in Western Australia. It says it will consult closely with Aboriginal groups. In a statement, the company said it had a commitment to understanding the cultural significance of the region. Land lies at the heart of Indigenous culture, and it has immense spiritual, physical, and social importance. The earth is seen as the mother of creation and a living, breathing mass that's full of secrets and wisdom. Aboriginal Australians make up about 3% of the population. Elders say that colonisation by the British in 1788 and the dispossession that followed has inflicted great harm on people who've lived in Australia for 65,000 years. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Six things to know about COVID-19. Topics of the UN Rights Council agenda are racism, conflict, and country violations. Europe reopens many borders, but not to Americans or Asians. Dozens dead, hundreds injured in gas tanker explosion in China. Australian man sentenced to death in China for drug smuggling. China flights are increasing, but American carriers are left out. Twitter removes China-linked accounts accused of spreading false news. You'll find all these stories and expanded coverage when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Amy Pulpy Boone in Washington, D.C. Black Lives Matter brought on a closer look at the role of the U.S. military in its dealings with civil unrest. VOA's Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb explores the importance of the military's long tradition of remaining apolitical in order to best represent and protect the American people it serves.
The use of force against peaceful protesters in Lafayette Square by federal law enforcement, backed by the U.S. military's National Guard, sparked a nationwide debate about the role of the military in civil society.
And it created an image, I think, that I think, again, gets after this idea of eroding the trust and confidence of the military.
General Joseph Votel, the former commander of U.S. Central Command, who now serves on the executive board of the Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law at the University of Pennsylvania, tells VOA the military's core value to stay out of domestic politics is among its greatest assets.
An apolitical military serves the nation the best. It's what the intentions were of the founders, and it is why. It is one of the very important reasons why the American military remains the most respected institution in America.
Several retired top-ranking officers have spoken out after a presidential threat to deploy thousands of active duty troops to U.S. cities, a move intended for only the most extreme circumstances. And this audio leak of Defense Secretary Mark Esper speaking to governors about the protest.
And so at my urging, I agree, we need to dominate the battle space.
When we can focus on the potential conflict in terms of dominating our own cities and our own people, it scares me to death, quite frankly. And if we don't do something about it, we'll look back and recognize this moment. This was the moment where really we need to do something.
Esper and the top U.S. military officer also walked in Lafayette Square with the president moments before he posed for photos outside a nearby church damaged during protests the night before. Pentagon officials have stressed that neither Milley nor Defense Secretary Esper knew of the president's plans and had only agreed to go to the square to thank National Guard members for their service. Esper has said he regretted his battle space comments, and Milley on Thursday called his decision to accompany the president in the square a, quote, mistake that he had learned from.
I should not have been there. My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics.
The military's apolitical nature is more than a tradition. It's in the military oath of office taken by every service member.
They're not swearing to support and defend the president, any president, whether he or she be Republican or Democrat. They're swearing to support and defend the Constitution.
Former officials have raised concerns that the president oftentimes ignores or forgets this very point.
The president has been really accumulating a sense of ownership about the government, where he makes statements about this is my military, or my generals, or my judges. So that it becomes possessive.
And with a presidential election less than 5 months away, some worry that the current debate about the military's role in domestic issues won't be the last.
The military is going to be really tested because this president will try to draw them into his political agenda.
Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia news, a gas tanker blast in China kills at least 19 people with more than 170 injured. It happened near a highway exit in Wanling Saturday afternoon with a truck carrying liquefied petroleum. Flames and smoke also damaged a factory, hundreds of homes and vehicles. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Removing names of Confederate leaders from U.S. military bases is gaining bipartisan support. But President Donald Trump says he plans to veto that idea. White House correspondent Patsy Wittakuswada takes us through this debate at the height of the nation dealing with systemic racism.
General Lee has completely whipped the enemy and swept the Yankee army northward from Virginia.
Gone with the Wind is a 1939 Oscar-winning film that depicts the antebellum South and the Confederacy, 11 states that fought to preserve slavery in the American Civil War of the 1860s.
Ladies, the Confederacy asks for your jewelry on behalf of our noble cause.
It has been removed by streaming service HBO Max, which cited racial prejudices. Dozens of statues of Confederate figures have been removed or vandalized, while the race car body NASCAR has banned the Confederate flag on its racetracks. These symbols have emerged as a flashpoint since the death of George Floyd in police custody in Minneapolis that triggered weeks of protests nationwide.
There's just something very visceral about having to look at the glorification of the people and the symbols that really wanted to have you, your people, people who look like you, held in chattel slavery.
Another front in the battle, 10 Army bases that bear the names of Confederate officers, including Fort Bragg, Fort Hood, and Fort Lee. With military leadership signaling support, a Republican-led Senate panel has approved a plan from a Democratic senator to remove these names from military installations.
This is the right time for it, and I think it sends the right message.
They're set to clash with President Donald Trump, who has threatened a veto. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
These monumental and very powerful bases have become part of a great American heritage and a history of winning, victory, and freedom.
The 1776 U.S. Declaration of Independence states that all human beings are created equal. Yet, while slavery was abolished in 1865, African Americans continue to endure the devastating effects of discrimination until now. Confederate symbols are emblematic of that paradox.
Here is a symbol of that represents the persistence of that ongoing contradiction between equality declared but equality denied.
Hunter said that while politics is about compromise, culture is about the things that are sacred, that people do not want to compromise over. By taking sides in a culture war, Trump will likely deepen polarization ahead of the November election. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's sister sent threats towards South Korea Saturday. Kim Yo-jong vows to punish activists accused of sending anti-Pyongyang leaflets into the north. They say they'll cut off official communication with Seoul and cancel an intermilitary agreement meant to reduce tensions. You'll have all the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, borders across the world are slowly starting to reopen after months of lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo talks to those who are still concerned about the virus's continuous spread.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo took the subway into Midtown Manhattan this week, arriving at Grand Central Terminal prior to holding his daily coronavirus briefing, a turning point for the U.S. city that has been hit hardest by the virus.
New York is back! New York is back! Let's get to work!
But he asked New Yorkers to be smart by using hand sanitizer and wearing face masks. A vaccine for the coronavirus, he cautioned, is not all it will take.
We can measure the increase in the virus. And as long as we're controlling that, we can operate.
Elsewhere in the world, offices, restaurants, and grocery stores reopened in Indonesia after 2 months of lockdown with only 50% of their employees and customers as cases continue to increase. And in parts of India, places of worship, restaurants, malls, and state borders are opening up, marking the easing of India's 10-week-long coronavirus lockdown, even as the country continues to report more cases. The head of one shopping mall, Arjun Gehlot, is not deterred by the increase in cases. He says the retail industry is working hard to get back on its feet.
I think the precaution that we are taking should give the customer a sense of satisfaction in their head after seeing all this.
In Mexico, some residents say they are confused by what they say are mixed messages from authorities.
Unfortunately, we see on the news that deaths and the virus are still on the rise, and on the other hand, they tell us that they're lifting the emergency.
Pero pues definitivamente mucha gente ya tenemos la necesidad de salir a trabajar porque la economía está muy desfavorecida para...
Businesses in bustling Mexico City have reopened over the past 2 weeks, and Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador recently spent time touring southern Mexico. In Spain, which has suffered one of the world's worst COVID-19 outbreaks, businesses have been gradually reopening.
At the moment, we are taking it easy and calmly and adapting to the new situation. That's all.
And in Africa, after a closure that lasted more than 2 months, the tourism industry is aiming for a comeback in Tunisia. The government there has allowed hotels to reopen with strict health measures in place. Hotel owner Wasila Slim says she's hopeful.
We hope to have customers of all nationalities to be able to restart properly.
But others say they are worried that some tourists will be coming from countries severely affected by the coronavirus, raising the risk for their own citizens. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Now on VOA Asia, post-COVID-19, South Korea is slowly returning back to normal, but its film industry is still recovering from the pandemic. VOA's Jason Strother digs into why audiences have not returned back to the movies.
Most South Korean movie theaters stayed open throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Few films are being released, though, and fans are staying away from cinemas. One of the country's largest theater chains is trying to bring them back by limiting contact between customers and staff. Here, the popcorn and concession stand is automated, and roving robots have replaced ticket takers.
It's more hygienic than being face-to-face, so guests can feel safer, and it's just a more cool and interesting place.
South Korean cinema was at the top of the world earlier this year when the dark comedy Parasite took home the Oscar for Best Picture. But the Korean Film Council says thanks to the coronavirus, ticket sales are at an all-time low. With concerns of a second wave of COVID-19 infections later this year, South Koreans could see more of what CJCGV is calling its untapped cinema.
This untapped cinema at this branch is just the test for now. Based on how this program goes, we would decide later whether to introduce these services to other locations.
For film buffs who want even less contact with strangers or robots, there is another option. Many Korean movie fans are seeking the big screen from inside the safety of their own cars. During the pandemic, some drive-in theater owners say ticket sales soared.
Before the coronavirus, business was not doing so good, but once it started, ticket sales went up 30%, but now it's getting back to normal.
Park says even though customers feel safe here, they won't come if they can't watch new films. Jason Strother for VOA News in Seoul, South Korea.
An American teacher struggled with how to connect with her students after COVID-19 took her students online. But to her surprise, those kids were more engaged and excelled in their studies. VOA's Julie Tabo takes us inside their classroom.
Parkland Middle School teacher Michelle Sandoval Villegas is passionate about her eighth grade students.
Does anybody have anything to say before they go to high school?
She now teaches math at the same school she attended when growing up.
When I went to that school, a lot of people always told me it's a bad side of town.
But that was where I was from, and I'm proud to say that I'm from that campus. And I want my students to feel proud of where they come from as well.
But then the coronavirus broke out, forcing her to take her classes online.
How am I going to do that through a computer screen? So I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to change myself at all. I'm going to be the same person. So the loud music hasn't stopped, corny jokes, the fist bumps, the air high fives, that hasn't stopped. So what did you get as your answer?
I got $22.50.
Yes, very good.
During her tutoring sessions, she started noticing a pattern.
The students weren't logging on more so for tutoring. They were logging on just to say hello. And they missed and they yearned for that, just that connection with me and the connection with the teacher.
That's when she came up with the idea of a weekly online social hour.
We talk nothing about school. It's all Netflix, video games. We meet pets, we meet siblings, we talk, we have fun. And then at the end of these social hour, I do end up raffling a family dinner.
Cielo Villalobos was one of her students.
I just felt joy like when I was in those meetings with her.
Villegas also wanted to help alleviate some of her students' financial burdens.
85% of the students that we have are either struggling financially, are struggling in single-parent households. Some of them are in and out of foster care. Some of them are considered homeless.
That gave her the idea of putting together care packages.
From social hour, I knew that the raffles were a hit, that they started to love to get things in the mail for me. So I said, okay, let's make little care packages for them.
So she took her wish list online.
I created Amazon wish lists, and I had a phenomenal turnout. Within the first week, I believe I received like 40-some items.
The care packages, she says, contain things that are simple but meaningful.
I send, you know, a little note, a motivational note. I'll send some candy in there. Pencils will go in there, paper, markers, crayons, anything to help them, to let them know I'm still here. I still care about your needs, and I still love you very much.
Local businesses have also chipped in to help Villegas send out about 150 packages and meals so far.
Some of the parents call me crying, you know, saying they really needed this.
As the end of the school year approached, Villegas did one last social hour and then surprised each of her students afterwards with packages delivered to them in person.
It wasn't like a big basket or anything like that, but it was like something small that really captured our personalities.
Villegas hopes the life lessons she has taught her students will remain with them for the rest of their lives.
I want to instill in those students that when you give back, the community will give back hope and love in return when you least expect it. Because above all, yes, we are educating students to become successful for the real world and academically, but above all, we're creating human beings.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
A two-day charity event in Fairfax, Virginia brought members of the community together. They donated basic daily necessities and food for those who may be suffering from unemployment caused by the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Gila Nori was there.
Twice a year, Fairfax County puts out a call for donations to fill the food pantries of local nonprofits as part of the Stuff the Bus food drive. The buses park in different locations to collect any sort of food donations.
I think this is a great idea. This is not an easy time, and we need to help each other.
This is amazing to see all of these groceries going out to so many people that need it. And especially pulling around this corner and just seeing how many people have already donated. It's really inspiring. So,
because of the coronavirus pandemic, demand for food is at an all-time high. From people who have lost their jobs and are needy. Recipients appreciate their efforts.
They give canned foods, fresh vegetables, fruit, cereal, sometimes like cookie boxes, stuff like that. And you can come once a week. And then the last Saturday of every month, they do fresh veggies. You get as much food as how many people are in your family.
Fairfax County is one of the wealthiest in the nation, a testament to the far-reaching impact of this virus that unemployment and food shortages are felt here as well. Gila Nuri, VOA News, Fairfax, Virginia.
You have been listening listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Ira Melman, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Amy Polpy Boone in Washington, D.C.